Hey, Patrick Long, have you ever run in a rally race?
Oh, a few rental car races in some back roads, but nothing too official. I took a ride in a GRC car. I actually got to drive the championship winning car from Brian Deegan. That was pretty wild.
Patrick Long is his name. Sports car champion, legend when it comes to Porsche. And is that, did I see this right? 16 years with Porsche?
That's right. It says something about my age, I guess. I can't claim I'm 20 anymore.
Stop it.
In fact, you've come down an octave the last time you've been here in the Freak Nation.
Yeah, well, it's been a little while. I had to earn my stripes back onto the show, but I'm excited, and I was on time this time.
That's true. I was going to bust your balls. I'm glad you brought that up first there. Patrick Long joining us here in the Freak Nation. And Patrick, you go through your resume, and it's still bonkers that of everything that you've run, you've had success at. And you just, with your latest adventure with the Baja 1000, was this the first time you've run in this race?
Well, you know, a few things have gone by since I've been on the show, but yeah, Baja 1000, that was my first time at it. I went down with the Navarros, who are still competing. They have a spec trophy truck now, and Quattro, as they call him, is going fast. But his dad, Rafael, and his grandfather, San Felipe family based here in Southern California. And I went down with those guys in, it's been a few years now, 2013, and got in a Class 12 car, which isn't easy to drive. I underestimated just how much commitment you have to have in the desert, especially when you're running a 1600 sort of souped up Volkswagen engine inside of a buggy.
But Patrick, one thing that is so incredible about you, and we just had Darren Law on last hour and talking about how busy his 2019 is going to be in several different series, but you're the same way. You give you any sort of a car and or a truck or a buggy, you're going to drive it. I mean, you are all over the map, and then you've also got car shows that you do, and you were texting us today some things that are also going on, a charity event in the Tampa St. Pete area with Sebastian Bourdais. You don't sleep.
Oh, it's busy, but I'm having a good time. Yeah, Porsche has been my main job since 2003, racing in IMSA, Le Mans, you name it, around the world. We've done the WEC, traveling the world with Patrick Dempsey, and anywhere Porsche needs a driver, I'm usually standing there with my hand up. But if there's an off weekend, then yeah, trying to learn about the back side of racing and the business element, whether it's a charity race or the Lufka Colt, or what we call for short Luft, is a car show that we put on annually in Southern California. So yeah, always staying busy. I figure that keeps me out of trouble. But these days, it's still a lot of travel for sports racing. Just like Darren, I raced with the Flying Lizard from that group. I started around 2006 and went all the way until their final Porsche factory race, which I think was 2012 or 2013. But those guys are awesome, and I was stoked to see that they won this weekend in the 25-hour Thunderhill. But yeah, it's sports car racing on the regular, but I've had a chance to jump into anything from V8 supercars all the way up to NASCAR at the top level and everything in between. I was seeing that you guys were covering a little bit of the Snowball Derby. I had a chance a few years ago to run a late model there in Pensacola, and that was unbelievable. I mean, what a racetrack. That tested a lot, not only nerve, but just car control, everything.
You know what? You say that you keep a busy schedule because it keeps you out of trouble. Your kids are going to be creating trouble for you, because you also have told us that your three-year-old likes to drive vintage Porsches, 1966 912 Porsches.
Yeah, we were joking about that earlier, trying to stay away from the go-kart track. I mean, these days, kids, they go fast on motorcycles, go-karts at 3-4 years old. I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who have their kids racing already. And I don't want to spend my next 20 years at the racetrack if I can't help it. I think going to the BMX track is fun, or playing at the old airport hangar where we can drive cars around and not be on any public roads. But you never know. I mean, 3 years old, he still can't tell me he wants to race. We haven't put him in a go-kart yet, which is not the same as I see as some of these guys. I see the NASCAR guys like Busch and Casey Kane got their kids in go-karts at that early, and I'm thinking to myself, good thing you guys make a lot of money, because it's only downhill from here.
Patrick, one of the things you don't talk about much is you have helped Porsche in some of the engineering of their new cars. You've tested the prototype before it was actually LMP1 car, before it was on the track, and you helped engineer the, I don't know what the designation was, but the hybrid race car that Porsche used and finished. They won a race in China by like 2 hours or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Porsche is a company that really prides itself on engineering and also a focus on design and innovation. And so there's always something going on. I'm on my way tomorrow to Weissach, which is where we do all of the R&D for Porsche, whether it's a street car or a race car. It all happens in the same little sort of outskirts village outside of Stuttgart in Germany. And every once in a while, they want a racing driver's opinion. Usually they put a racing driver in a development street car to see what's going to break, because racing drivers push them pretty hard. But they do a lot of their development over on the Nürburgring, the Nordschleife, as a lot of people have seen on YouTube or played online. And that place is wild. I mean, you know, Statman, you can go there on any given open day during the week as long as the schedule's free, and basically pay a toll and go out and run like a 16-mile lap. I don't know what the actual distance is, but some kind of insane. It takes 9 minutes to do a lap there, and they say you can't take a rental car out there, but I've seen a lot of Hertz and Avis logos lining up at the start line.
Yeah, I bet you've had one or two rental cars out there. I'd hate to get a rental car after you've had it. One of the things that you and I have laughed about this in a private conversation, and we were talking about you earlier, where's your language skills now? You at one time you were up to 6, I think, and you were indicating that maybe some of those have started to drift away.
Yeah, you told me that your memory starts to slide, and now I believe you, getting into those gray hairs. But no, it's one of those deals where, you know, the more you use it, the fresher it becomes or it stays, and the more you can keep fresh on your languages. Going to Le Mans always allows me a couple of weeks there, really, you know, to engage with the fans and some of the team members who, you know, don't speak English, and most of them speak French, and so French is definitely regularly used. And then I try to keep up on my Italian. German is tough just because as a culture and a country, they speak such good English. They start learning English at 2 years old. And, you know, by the time they're 12, they speak better English than half the people in our country. So it's fun trying to brush up on the languages. But yeah, Le Mans for me this year, I'm hoping to get a ride. It would be my 16th, I think actually 17th consecutive year at Le Mans. And that would set a record for an American with the most starts. And I think last year I tied or broke Johnny O's record for consecutive starts. But every time we go to Le Mans, it's our Super Bowl for sport car racing. It doesn't get any tougher. The speeds are high. It's, you know, 200 miles an hour. And a lot of the track at Le Mans is actually open road. So during the day before practice, it'll be a normal industry day at Le Mans. And then they'll block the roads off at about dusk. And then we'll do practice and qualifying until midnight or 1 in the morning. And it's pretty mental. It, you know, for as fast as that track is, it gets narrow in spots and basically just unlimited road racing.
So the one thing, Patrick, I've texted you, and you've been anywhere from the wall at a rallycross to actually getting into a stock car. Now, I've told you this before, but you got to get this stock car thing out of your system, brother. You got to take 2 aspirin and sleep that off.
I know it's those cars are fun, especially on road courses. I wasn't too spring of a chicken on the ovals. I had some fun in the K&N East and West Series running short tracks Tri-County or, you know, some of the shorter tracks, Irwindale out here on the West Coast. But definitely on the road courses, we found some success a few years back winning in ARCA and K&N and did a nationwide race at Road America, enjoyed that. But these days I've lost a little bit of interest in watching it. And so I haven't been ringing anybody and blowing their phone up asking for a test or a race. It's hard to watch the road course races because it just turns into kind of a slam fest that last 20 laps. And then on the ovals, I know you guys have talked about it, but I haven't really watched any races since they went to the sort of interruption, or what do you guys call it, sectioned races or something?
Oh, the stage racing.
Past that, I can't handle it anymore. So maybe we'll get back into stock car racing. But for now, yeah, we're producing car shows, which is something I never thought I would do. And that's taking up all that NASCAR free time.
Well, before we get, because I know you were at a show today, your show at the Peterson Museum in Los Angeles. We used to do our show, Speed Freaks, from the Peterson. I love that museum. But going along the lines of Statman talking to you about sitting in stock cars, and obviously we've been talking about off-road with you and clearly a bunch of sports cars, you with Porsche. Porsche is entering Formula E in 2019. Have they approached you or anybody about, hey, you want to give it a little test pilot in the Formula E series next year or down the road?
Not specifically. I was in the simulator last year. Porsche has their own sort of top level Formula One level simulator, and they were doing some testing around Christmas time, so almost a year ago, just sort of preparing, and a couple drivers were in it. So I observed that. But to be honest, I haven't done much on the prototype or open wheel front since Penske ended the program almost 10 years ago in the RS Spiders. But every once in a while, you know, this year at Rennsport, we do a sort of every 4 years, we do a reunion of all Porsche Motorsport, especially vintage racing. And this year I strapped into Teo Fabi's 1990 March Porsche-powered IndyCar and blasted some laps at Laguna Seca. And I hadn't been in an open-wheel car in a while, and ripping that turbo IndyCar up the front straightaway got me thinking. And Marshall Pruitt was pretty fired up about it, because with the return of IndyCar next year to Laguna, it was fun for him to see an IndyCar ripping around. And I don't know if I have the physical strength of what IndyCars take these days, so I need to get back in the gym if there's going to be any single seaters in my future.
Jeez. Dude. Oh my gosh. He said, if he is not putting it away as a no, he said, if they're in my future. Yes. Oh, I'd love to see you back in a single seater.
Wait a minute.
It was weird seeing the tops of your own tires. It's something I haven't seen in a while.
Wait a minute. This came to mind when I was reading some stuff earlier today. You've got a relationship now again with Red Bull. And it was Red Bull that you were one of the finalists in the Red Bull Formula One driver search. So you're
the very first year.
Yeah, you're not a foreign person when it comes to single seaters. You know what you're doing, and you could have been in Formula One as well as a Porsche factory driver.
Yeah, the road to Formula One has certainly changed these days. But back then, you're right. Red Bull stepped up and decided they were going to put an American in Formula One. At that time, with the Grand Prix at Indianapolis, I think it was sort of a manhunt. And there were some fun guys in that first group: Allmendinger and Speed and Hunter Ray and Giebler and Hand. And it was definitely eye opening for me. Just how many great kids there are in North America. And it's been fun to work with Red Bull on the other side of it with some of their young and up-and-comer development drivers. And it's funny, we did an event last year with four of their young drivers, and their parents were there with them because most of them can't rent a car. And I was only a few years younger than their parents, and it was kind of a head scratcher. But they have some great athletes these days. You know, Mitchell DeYoung is a guy you guys probably have talked to that just ripped in a rally car. And you got Seth and Mia. They're probably not even 16 yet, and they're out in off-road close course and open off-road. So, you know, Red Bull's in Santa Monica, California, their North American headquarters. So working down there with those guys is always fun. And a lot of it is just kind of offering perspective or consulting on, you know, all those decisions you had to make as a young up-and-coming driver of when to take an opportunity and what series to be in. And, you know, it's like walking down Collins Avenue in South Beach and there's 20 restaurants. How do you decide where to go and how do you find the money to pay the check? So, the development side of motorsport always piques my interest.
Patrick Long, always legendous when he rolls in the Freak Nation. Wow, we could go on for days with this. Hey, Patrick, in a nutshell, what's the end goal for you?
Oh, just to keep having fun. It sounds cliche, but the backdrop changes quickly as a racing driver, and it's a bit frantic. I have a young family now with two kids and a wife, so I have to balance my time on the road. But certainly, you know, working with young kids, developing my brand, Lifticult, and I'll always be driving. I really enjoy vintage racing because it's so pure. There's not driver aids, and you can, you know, skin the cat a few different ways out on the track. So just keep it mixed up. Try to keep up with Statman. He always beats me up when we come to Long Beach asking me hard questions. I got to always keep up on my pop culture and listen to more music. But hey, I'll take what I can get on opportunities. And speaking of that, thanks for having me on tonight.
Absolutely.
Happy holidays, buddy.
You guys too. Great to catch up.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.